Our Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, because you are indeed our Heavenly Father. Jesus introduced him as our Heavenly Father. Our Father who knows our needs even before we ask. We give you praise. We honor you, Lord. We say, thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and the power and the glory. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, O Lord, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. In thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, we thank you, our Father, and we praise your glorious name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, on such a day and at such a time that we can call you Father. We can say, Abba, Father. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. As always, we declare that the entrance in of your word into our hearts brings light, gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Good morning and happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the house. I want to speak to all of us, but fathers especially, being that it's Father's Day. Hopefully the message will be there that you can share with fathers later on, you know. We have a few fathers in the house at the moment, but if you know anybody, you can ping them in. Otherwise, you can share the message later on to others. And I'm sure it'll be a blessing to all of us. Praise God. The Word of God is always a blessing. It's always a blessing to every one of us. Praise God. Today, I want to talk about, you know, fathers that, you know, raising godly seed through prophetic word and spoken blessings, you know. So now this, of course, obviously, this is for, you know, a godly father himself, you know, that can now raise godly children through the prophetic words that they speak over those children. Spoken blessings, prophetic word. The man as a priest over his own house. Speaking and as a prophet over his own house. Speaking the word of the Lord and blessings into his children's lives. So powerful. Even from the day, from the womb, the day the child's conceived. The father to speak those blessings. And the day, the first day, he holds that baby in his hands. He can speak blessings. And throughout the life of that child, can order their life by speaking blessings and positive things into the lives of those children. Praise the Lord. So we're going to look at, you know, some examples in the scriptures, you know, of these godly fathers that spoke powerful prophetic blessings over their children. And those things they spoke were the way it was in the lives of those children. Now, as a, you know, as a background, you know, we want to know, first of all, that there's power in the spoken word. So, so powerful. What we speak can carry life. It can also carry death. You know, we've been talking about death and life, light and darkness, the last series we were talking about. And Proverbs 18 and 21 says that death and life and the power of the tongue. You know, so that means there is power in the tongue, and how we use it can speak life, you know, to people, situations. Or it can bring death. You know, I don't want my words to be death. I want our words to be life. Paul said, look, we are the savor of death unto some, but mostly we are the savor of life. You know, so let our words, Colossians 4 and 6, let your words, you know, be with grace and seasoned with salt, that you may know, you know, how to answer every man. You always have a word, you know, a word in season that's a blessing. The words that come out of your mouth like that, you know, they are a blessing. Praise God. You know, many scriptures tell us that we should use our words, choose our words wisely. And you can even pray that your words will be anointed like that to bring blessing. You know, I mean, this is a general, this part of it is general to everybody, but then I'm going to specifically speak to fathers, but generally to everybody, you know, and Jesus made a statement. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we need to pray that God will help us, cultivate our hearts in the right way, that words that come out of our heart are words of blessing, you know, not words, you know, that hurt. You know, pleasant words, scripture says, are like a honeycomb. They're sweet. They bring healing. You know, so, you know, talking about our words in general, you can have, you know, pleasant words coming out of your mouth. And you can also have grievous words. Bible says, you know, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, but grievous words, goodness, they sting, you know, and that's not a good thing. So generally speaking, when we, when we use our words to bring, to speak good things, they can bring blessings. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, pleasant words as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And it can just bring goodness like that, you know. And, you know, Isaiah declared something about, you know, what he desired of the Lord. I think he practiced it to the point where, you know, he mastered the thing, you know, and then he made a declaration. And let's read what he said in the book of Isaiah chapter 50, you know, and verse 4. The Lord had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Now, this is a message. This part of it is a message for everybody, fathers or not. Your tongue, speak a word, you know, to someone that's weary, to bring healing, to bring health, to bring refreshing. Wakeneth my, you know, morning by morning, wakeneth my ear. He has learned. You know, Jesus said, well, what I hear, as I hear, I speak. The son can do nothing, but what the father tells him, that he speaks. If we train our ears to hear blessing and hear peace and hear goodness, then, you know, we speak the same thing. You know, so as a background, we must all aspire and pray towards these things, you know, that we can use our words like that. Praise the Lord. Use your words to be a blessing. people that you speak to, let your words be a blessing to them. Particularly the fathers now who are speaking to their children. You know, let your words be a blessing to them. I want to read to you in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses was as a father over an entire generation. And here's what he said. Give ear, Deuteronomy 32. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. You know, this is a good testimony. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. And fathers must teach their children doctrine. The doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of righteousness. You know, and things, you know, that speak wholeness and integrity. My speech shall distill as the dew, you know, as a small rain upon the tender earth, you know, because I will publish the name of the Lord. This is something that fathers must do in their household. Publish the name of the Lord. And let everybody know that this place, Joshua said, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He said, look, you guys can choose whatever you want to do. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24 and 15. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If you seem good in your eyes to serve something else, well, you know, that's your choice. You know, if it seems good for you, you to serve the Lord, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And a man that determines that his household will serve the Lord, he will instruct his children after him like that. Let's look at some examples in the Bible. Abraham was a man, a father, who spoke covenant blessings over his son. That's right. I mean, the thing that God spoke to Abraham, he also, you know, spoke it. Abraham also released the same over his son, you know, and by being a conduit of the blessing of God, brought the same over his son Isaac. He taught Isaac how to trust God, how to obey God, how to walk by faith. You know, and Abraham's blessing to Isaac wasn't, you know, only material. It was also spiritual. It was a spiritual inheritance that he passed on, you know, to Isaac, you know. So things like this, you know, in the culture of the children of Israel, this was something that they knew to do. And they tell their children, you belong to God. You are chosen. You will serve the Lord thy God. You will walk in God's purpose and so forth. You know, all the time teaching their children, because Moses also instructed the children of Israel. He said, look, you must instruct your children. Instruct them when you sit in the house. Instruct them when you are in the table. Instruct them. You know, put these words before your children. You know, the words that I speak to you today, well, you will keep this charge and you will make sure you pass them on to your children as well. You know, not only you keep the charge, you make sure your children also keep the charge. When you sit in the house, he said, Therefore, ye ladies, my words in your heart, Deuteronomy 11, telling them the things that they must do. Lay these words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand. Praise the Lord. And, you know, let it be as frontlets between your eyes, kind of like you're wearing glasses. It's always there, you know, and teach these words to your children. Speaking of them when you sit in the house and when you walk by the way, you're always speaking of these things. Even write them on the doorposts of your house. When you sit at dinner, you're telling them, the breakfast table, you're telling them, and you're driving them to school, you're telling them in the car, or whatever. You're always telling them, you know, you are not like those people. You are, you know, belong to the Lord. You are chosen. You are peculiar people. I mean, you will behave yourself accordingly. You will know whose child you are. You're the child of God. And you're also a child that represents this family. I mean, we speak good things. We say positive things. You know, you're better than those things. You know, you can't be like the rest of the world that act as if they don't know God. You know God. You're raised godly. You are a godly seed. And we speak purpose. We also speak purpose into their lives. You know, we must speak purpose into their lives. Ah, the purpose of God from the beginning. What did God himself determine? As God being a father, you know, he spoke blessing to Adam. Adam was the son of God. Whose son could he be? He didn't have any father. So naturally, he was called the son of God. According to Luke chapter 3 and verse 38, Adam was called the son of God. You know, in that chapter, we see a reverse genealogy of Christ. You know, and when Christ began to be about 30 years of age, being as he was supposed, the son of Adam, I mean, Joseph and so on. And he walked the genealogy backwards onto Adam. And he said, Adam was the son of God. Yeah, that's right. He was the son of God. And God spoke blessings into his life. You know, he said, look, have dominion. And God put some things upon Adam. I mean, right from the beginning, be fruitful, God said to him. He blessed him. Bible says God created them and blessed them. So the first things from God's mouth to the man were blessings. You know, before he gave him instructions of do this and don't do that, first of all, he blessed him. Be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth and have dominion over all these things I have created. Put him in charge, blessed him, you know. And then he gave him instructions. But he blessed him. First things out of God, the Father, to his first human son. Not the begotten son, you know. This was his created son. We know he had a begotten son, he had the created son, and he had adopted sons. But Jesus was the begotten son. Yeah. God blessed even Jesus. You know, he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. That's a blessing, you know, from the Father to the Son. Then to Adam, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And then to us, who are his adopted sons, he gave incredible blessings through all the scriptures. In fact, we are told that exceeding great and precious promises are ours. Through them, we become partakers of the divine nature. You know, the blessings in the scriptures connect us, you know, in that generational pipeline. You know, so powerful, the words, you know, of a father like that. You know, and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, the rest of them, They charged their sons. They blessed their sons. It was a powerful lesson that we read throughout the scriptures. Whatever God said to those people, they passed it on to their children. I mean, God said to Abraham in Genesis 17, number 7, I will establish my covenant with thee and with thy seed after thee. And this, you know, what I call generational blessings. Covenant blessings are for generations. They're not just for you. You know, the covenant that God made with Abraham was a generational covenant. Down through the ages, he said, I will establish my covenant with you and with thy seed after thee. And this man also instructed his son. You know, they were always repeating these words, you know, to their children. Abraham's blessing, you know, by faith, he communicated the same, to his sons. And, you know, the Lord, to let us know that Abraham was doing these things. How do we know that Abraham was doing these things? Well, the Lord himself testified of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, the Lord said of Abraham, I know him, that he will command, you know, his children after the Lord and his household. So Abraham was always doing these things, commanding and putting a blessing on the children, telling them who they are. you're not like that. No, you know, tell them the word of the Lord. And God even trusted Abraham that he would lead his family, you know, in the right way. Spiritually speaking, Abraham would be a priest and a prophet to his family. God already knew that, and he said, I do it. You know, and Abraham, you know, doing exactly that. Isaac, you know, also, you know, he spoke prosperity, he spoke provision, he spoke divine favor, you know, over Jacob. Genesis 27 and 28, powerful scripture. God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. That pronunciation came from Jacob's father. It came upon him, said it. You know, so this was the way that these fathers were. They were prophetic. I mean, they spoke prophetically into their children's life. They spoke blessings into their children's life, you know. And the blessing once spoken remained upon the child or the son despite their imperfections. that's actually the powerful part. You know, the blessing that God put upon Adam, well, even though he lost it, you know, it will remain because, you know, Jesus will come and restore it. The blessing, even see in the case of Isaac, it declared Jacob's future. You know, you will be above, he said. God will give you the dew of heaven. God will give you the fatness of the earth. You'll be above. Praise the Lord. And he said, God Almighty, bless you and make thee fruitful. Genesis chapter 28, verses 3 and 4. I mean, these people were always putting a blessing on their children. We should do the same. You know, fathers should do the same. Let's read Genesis 28 and verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, you know. So, not only the blessing, but also instructing him, you know, in the way of the Lord, what he wants him to do. You know, how not to shack up with the wife of the heathen and so on. thou shalt not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. But told him where to go and so forth. And then he said, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, you know, and I will become a multitude of people. The Lord give you the blessing of Abraham. You know, see now, Isaac is now the conduit. The blessing that was Abraham in Abraham, Isaac grabbed it and is now passing it on to Jacob. Yeah, prophetically speaking, you know, and this is what fathers must do. Say, the blessing of Abraham be upon thee and to thy seed. And he spoke that blessing so powerful. No, I got it. Abraham got it. I got it. And I'm passing it on to you and to your seed after you. Thou mayest inherit the land with the Lord, you know, I promise, you know, you're now a stranger in it and so forth, but the Lord will give it to you, you know, and so on and so forth. So this is the way that God put these blessings in the mouth of the godly, those godly fathers for their children. Jacob, also the Bible says, Jacob leaning upon his staff, bless all his children. You know, in Genesis chapter 49, you know, Jacob gathered all his sons and he said, look, let me tell you what's going to befall you. And he also had a prophet, you know, speaking over his sons. The father from the father's mouth to the sons, from the heart of the father, he told them. And everything that Jacob said, you know, he said, look, let me tell you what's going to befall you. In other words, prophesying into their lives. Glory to God. Now prophesying powerful stuff into their lives. You know, and say, gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. Hearken, you know, he told them. And he began to call them, started from Reuben, my firstborn. You know, the blessing of the birthright goes to the firstborn. And he started there, you know, and he said, yeah, you are my might. You are the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity. And he began to lay it upon him. That's right. Yeah, that's what the godly father does. You lay the blessing upon your children. You speak it over them. You know, praise God. Yeah, God. And God will honor it because that's a pattern that's established in the scriptures. You know, yeah. He said, well, you know, yeah, you may be a bit unstable and so on, but nevertheless, you know, I mean, called out some things that he did, but nevertheless, you know, he still blessed him. And everything that, you know, spoke, the blessings and so forth, you know, over his children, every one of them, blessed them uniquely. He saw their destinies ahead of them. He spoke, you know, over them and so forth. You know, and even took his grandkids, took the children of Joseph, you know, Manasseh and Ephraim, and he blessed them. And he did this incredible blessing of the crossing of the hands. You know, Joseph wanted the elder to, you know, get the blessing, you know, Ephraim and Manasseh and Joseph. But Jacob said, look, these your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came to thee, they are now mine. Glory to God. Jacob claimed those children, put his name upon them so he can put a blessing on them. The ones you have afterwards, fine. But these ones are mine. I'm going to put a blessing on them. And he put a blessing on them. Powerful, powerful story. And, you know, Joseph, when he brought the children, you know, to Jacob, you know, he took the two children, one in his left hand and one in his right hand. Ephraim, he put in his right hand towards Israel's left hand. And Manasseh, he put in his left hand towards Israel's right hand. He was facing them. So his right was on his left. Left was on your father's right. So he did it like that. So that by that time, Jacob's eyes were dim. So, you know, Joseph was making sure that Jacob would lay his right hand on the elder. Because, you know, right hand was a source of power. It was significant in their culture. Put your right hand upon the elder and put your left hand, bless them both, but the right hand, which is the upper hand, put it on the elder. Well, that's what Joseph thought. But Jacob said, he crossed his hands. Powerful story. Crossed his hands and blessed. He put a blessing. I mean, he just crossed his hands. I mean, why? You know, and it was so. You know, the blessing that he put on the younger that day was so. And Joseph protested. No, 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 no. You know, try to take Joseph's hand, I mean, Jacob's hand, Israel's hand, shift the hands, and the man said, I know it. Yeah, I know it. I know what I'm doing. Yeah. And he blessed, you know, it was a powerful story. I call it the crossing of the hands. I've preached lessons on that one. You might want to check out those lessons. Crossing of the hands. But the blessing that he pronounced upon them, you know, they stayed that way. David, you know, he blessed his son, charged him in the name of the Lord. I mean, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2, he said, look, be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. You tell your children sometimes, look, suck it up, you know, be the man already. You know, you tell them. And you, you know, say, look, serve the Lord, you know, with all your heart. And David encouraged his son, admonished his son, in fact, charged his son, you know, and he also gave him, you know, wisdom. Before even Solomon was praying for wisdom, David was already giving Solomon wisdom with purpose, pointed him towards obedience and destiny and so forth. You do these things and so on and so forth. You know, this is how you do. This is the way you must do. And the building, you know, the temple that Solomon builds that everybody was acclaiming. David was the one that did most of the provision. He provided all these things in abundance, you know, before, you know, Solomon even got there, you know, and he put a blessing on him, gave him instructions, told him what to do, and also said, look, in order for you to prosper, you know, wherever you turn, you must keep his statutes. You must keep his commandments. And that's talking about the Lord. You must keep his judgments and testimonies as written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me. See, that's a generational blessing. That's a conduit. David is now telling Solomon, there is something that the Lord said to me. In order for it to pass to you, you know, it'll pass to you, but this is the charge that I charge you today. You see, and he told him, and even gave him charge concerning his own children too. And this is the way that those godly fathers did it. And, you know, blessing can also come through intercession. Praying for your children. We see that in the story of Job. I mean, Job was a praying father. In Job chapter 1 verse 5, he made burnt offerings, you know, prayed for his sons. He said, look, I don't know. These are my sons. You know, they might have done some crazy stuff. So I'm going to pray over them. And all the time, praying over his children, praying over his children, praying over his children. You know, he was a praying father. And he built a hedge around them too. There was a hedge around himself, and he wanted a hedge around his children. He began to pray for them. Now, we know his own story was unique because of the contest between the Lord and Satan. Otherwise, if we see the other side, what Job was actually doing, praying for his children. The Bible says in James chapter 5 and verse 16, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, so for a righteous man or a righteous father, you pray fervently over your children, it's going to avail much in their lives. It's going to avail much. You must pray, you must speak the words of grace, and we must give instructions. Even Solomon himself, you know, all in his writing, in the book of Proverbs and so forth, you know, he would write, you know, things like, look, here are the instructions of a father, he would say, you know, and so forth. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. I give you good doctrine. This is the role of the father. Instructions in your house. Jesus said, if the good man of the house would have watched in the spirit, he would not have allowed his house to be broken up. The father is the good man of the house. He's the one that must watch over his children, you know, in the spirit. Teach them the way of the Lord. Give them instruction. Show them the way that they need to go. And Proverbs 22 and 6 says, if you do that, later on in life, they will not depart. And if they depart, I will talk about that in a minute, God will bring them back. You know, now, but you must give them instruction. Instruction of a father to know understanding. I give you good doctrine. And he told you, look, forsake not my law. Say, I myself, I was my father's son. My father instructed me, and I'm instructing you. You know, so this is what a godly father must do. Make himself a conduit. Just like Isaac stood between Abraham and Jacob. So the blessing of Abraham I put upon you today. I got it, and I'm putting it on you. Praise the Lord. You know, that's the way it must be, a godly father. And there are many things, you know, that we see even in the life of Jesus. We see the Father outwardly proclaiming the blessing. He had done it before, but even proclaiming it in, you know, openly, you know, acknowledging the Christ publicly, blessing him. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God was now, you know, affirming Christ's identity with affection, with pride, with approval. This, you know, and that's how fathers must be, the children, you know, recognize your children. Now, that's my boy. That's my son, you know, I'm well pleased, you know. Why? Because Jesus was looking like God, talking like God, thinking like God, functioning like God. I'm pleased. Now, you might notice at this point, Jesus hadn't done any miracles. There was no miracle recorded. And maybe some things in the house around Mary and Joseph. Well, we don't know. We're not told. God purposely kept those things quiet. But his public ministry was yet to begin. In fact, it was after that baptism, coming out of water, being baptized of John, the Holy Spirit descending upon him visibly like that. You know, and God speaking those words that he went to the wilderness. There he was tempted and then came and announced his ministry and all of that. But yet, God was acknowledging him. This is my beloved son. Now, it wasn't because of the miracles that Christ had done. It was because he was God's son. That's right. And so the father must stand behind their sons. Not because of, we can't be proud of them just because of what they do. I mean, our fathers are, I'm proud of you when they go to school, when they do this. Well, why don't I not go to school? Well, you know, they should go to school. I mean, you must encourage them, you must push them. But I'm saying that the God was proud of Christ before he even did any of these things that we now call great. You know, father came out and said, this is my beloved son. You know, I'm proud of him. I'm well pleased in him. Are we proud as fathers? Can you say that about your children, that you are proud of them? And some children, that's all they are waiting to hear from their father all their life. some unfortunate children that have, you know, crazy fathers that don't know how to speak stuff, good stuff into their children. All that child wants to hear all his life is, I'm proud of you. That's all. They will give anything to hear those words. Don't starve or deprive your children of that. Speak it to them daily. I'm proud of you, son. That's my boy. You say it, you brag about them too. I mean, not in a, you know, prideful way and so forth, you know, but in a way that shows that you got their back. You know, I got your back. What every child needs is that love, that affirmation, and that approval from the Father. And God showed it to us, gave it to Christ. And that thing, that encouragement that God gave, think about it. You've probably never thought about it like this. That encouragement that God gave to Christ was the fuel for him to go into that wilderness. He was just about to go there. God knew it. In fact, the Spirit drove him there to be, you know, go through that trial and be tested of the devil. But before he went there, God gave him something, gave him acknowledgement. He affirmed his identity. You are my son. I am well pleased in you. I was just about to send him into some trouble, but gave him acknowledgement, gave him, you know, affirmed his identity, gave him approval before he even sent him out. You know, isn't that beautiful? Your son is about to go to college, about to go away, and so forth. You know, what are you going to say to him? You know, you're going to be scolding him and everything. No, you're going to tell him, I'm proud of you, son. You are my son, and I'm proud of you. You know, you tell him, you know, and you, I mean, you have found his identity. You tell him, done the thing yet that he's about to do, but before he even does it, you are telling him how great he is and how proud of him you are. Praise God, you know. And children whose fathers speak to them like that, they turn out to be great. Because he said, you know, because they're going to think, my dad says I'm great. My dad says I can do it, you know. And they want to do it, you know, because that's the way the father thinks of them. And so they want to do it. They want to make the dad proud. My dad already said I'm proud. Well, I want to make him even more proud of me. You know? So it's a great way to send your children off. This is my beloved son. And, well, you know, halfway through his ministry, God comes back and says the same thing again. In Matthew chapter 17, comes back again. Now, this time around, Jesus had been doing a lot of stuff. And the first time, he hadn't done any stuff publicly. He said it to encourage Christ. Now, Christ's been doing a lot of stuff. In Matthew 17, there comes Moses and Elias. There comes the law and the prophets and grace. Three of them there. Three symbols. Moses representing the law. Elijah representing the prophets. And Jesus representing grace and truth. And God picked one of them. He did not pick the law. He did not pick the prophets. He chose grace and truth. John chapter 1 verse 17 says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And God, on that day, you know, in that shining brightness and everything, the cloud of witnesses, even the disciples, three of them were there to see it. God singled out his son. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Now, if fathers would speak such grace into the lives of their children, those children would be powerful. Come out great. Praise the Lord. Now, even when your children are down, speak life into them. Now, there are times that they'll be struggling. They'll be struggling. Speak life into them. And like I said before, you know, even when they go astray, they will come back because God promised it. He already promised that, first of all, he said, look, if you train them the way that they should go, when even when they get older, they will not depart from me. But what about if they do depart? Because they might depart. Well, if they do depart, then we remember that the Lord said they will not depart. So if the Lord said something is going to be one way and the thing turns out a different way or appears to be turning out a different way, then we can go back to the word of the Lord. It's like Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death in John chapter 11 concerning Lazarus. But Lazarus died. But Jesus said it was not unto death. Well, if Jesus said it was not unto death and the man died, it means that Jesus would have to reverse that thing so that it would be as though it was not unto death. It's just that simple. You know, Jesus would have to reverse it because he already said it's not unto death. You say it's not unto death, but the man died. So you have to reverse it so that it's not unto death. So if the Lord said they will not depart and they depart, the Lord will have to bring them back so it will be as though they never departed. That's right. You know, and he gives that the promise to back up Proverbs 22 verse 6. He gives the promise to back it up in Jeremiah chapter 31. He says, thus saith the Lord. Glory to God. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping. Hallelujah. This is Jeremiah 31 and 16. Refrain thy voice from weeping because you are lamenting that your children went away. And I say no. You know, and your eyes from tears, your work that you did over these children in Proverbs 22 and 6, you did it because the Lord said, train them, and you did. The work that you did over these children shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. They shall come. Even if they departed, which the Lord said they should not, then they will not depart. But if they did depart, the Lord will bring them back, and it will be as though they never departed. That's right. You must do it. And I said to them, there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children, just so you know that verse 16 was also talking about children, even though he didn't put children there. Now he comes back in this verse 17 and tells you point blank, talking about your children. There is hope that your children will come again, hallelujah, to their own border. They will come back. They will not depart, but if they depart, God will bring them back. But you must keep speaking that life to them. And you must keep thinking positive things of them. There's a story that Jesus told in Luke 15. We call it the prodigal son. But I call it the heart of a father. The man always, you know, looking out for his son. The son went away. And then the man would ask, hey, have you heard from your brother? Say, who? He would send some of his servants to go check out the man. I mean, all these stories that they came back and told, you know, your son, you know, how did the brother know that wasted his substance without us leaving? How did he know that? Because the father used to send people to go look for him. When he got to a certain place, he said, you know, we're looking for something. And said, yeah, well, he was here, but he's not here anymore. Well, I mean, we'll tell us about his welfare. Well, I mean, he was, you know, always having parties, throwing things around for, I mean, all the things that the father would have sent out, these people brought word to the father. And the brother also heard it. That's how he knew to use those things to accuse him for the father. You know, but the man never lost hope. You know, have you heard from my son today? He said, no. Have you heard from your brother today? He said, who? But that one didn't want to hear anything from him. But the man was always out there looking out for his son. My son is coming back. He knew it too. My son is coming back. He knew it. Because, you know, well, I was always praying for him too. And the day that the son was coming back, the man was the first to see him afar off. Because he was always out there every day. He's coming back. Going to be out there looking. Is he coming? No. Well, go away. He'll come back the next day. My son, is he coming? No. He was always out there. And the day that the man, the young man was coming back, the father who was always on his watch out post was the one to see him first. Yeah! That's my boy. He's coming. I told you so. And he ran, you know, fell upon his neck. The young man began to say, stop. Oh, Father, I've sinned against you before heaven and all of these things. I'm not worth, you know, to be called your son, this and this and this. The man said, be quiet. I will have none of that. You are my son. You are back. Glory to God. The man didn't even care about, oh, you know, it was necessary for the young man to do what he did. The young man must acknowledge his sin and he must return to the Father. That's necessary. Nobody can be saved if they don't acknowledge their sin. You must recognize your sin. When the young man came to his senses, he knew where he had gone wrong. But he had confidence to go back. You know, had confidence. My father, you know, he's going to take me back. Now, do your children have that kind of confidence that they'll take you, you'll take them back, no matter how screwed up they did or whatever? This man knew my father, he would take me back. And the father, he didn't even, I don't want to hear any of it. My son is back. Called everybody. Let's make a big feast. My son is back. My son was lost, but I told you he was coming back. I told you. Yeah, you know, the man was always speaking good things into his son's life. And even when the son went astray, he stood right there. He wouldn't give an inch. He knew the man is coming back. The young man is coming back. My son is coming back. Can we say that of you? Can God say that of you? That I know him. That he will instruct his house after me. I know him. He will never give up on his sons. Praise the Lord. And sometimes those sons, they can really pull your hair. You know. Or the children, you know, sometimes they think, you know, some of these young folks, they think they got all the answers. They get to a certain age, then they know everything already. You know, like that. All of us we've raised many of them. Then they get to a certain age, just think they know everything. You know, so, well, you know, the father's heart always there. And here's another thing about fathers, you know. In the book of Malachi, there's another thing that God said about fathers. In the book of Malachi chapter 4, he said this, you know, about what God will do in fathers to the children. Behold, he said, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And what's he going to do? Elijah, the grace and anointing of Elijah will come to bring restoration, but it will start with the fathers. Always start with the fathers. Can't start with the children. We'll start with the fathers. You know, he will turn the heart of the fathers to the children, you know, and then the hearts of the children to the fathers. Now, so if there's a father in the house and you have a broken relationship with any of your children, I hope not, you go after them. God, the grace is here now. The spirit and anointing of Elijah, he turned the hearts of the whole children of Israel. They were after Baal and everything. He turned their hearts back in one day. You know, and that grace is upon you, come upon you to go after your children. And fathers and mothers alike. Sometimes a mother has to play the role of the father. You have an absentee father or a father that's gone or deceased or whatever. And the mother is stepping into that role. It's the same thing. You know, but especially because today is Father's Day, I'm addressing the fathers. You know. And why am I addressing the fathers? Well, you know, you know, John and Peter and the rest of them, they wrote in their positions as they were, you know, they would say things like, look, I am writing to the elders among you, and I write from my position of also being an elder, you know. So, you fathers I write unto you, John said. Well, who am also a father. Well, Peter said, well, you elders who are among you, I write unto you, being also an elder. So 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1, you will see that. I want to read that first, and I'll read the words of John. And let me say it this way. Fathers that are among us that are listening to this today, and, you know, whoever will listen to it later on, you know, I speak to them, being also a father. That's what Peter said. I write to the elders among you, being also an elder myself. So I myself being a father, speaking to the fathers among you, you know, so, you know, and John also, you know, he wrote many things, himself being a father, you know, and he wrote to the fathers, he wrote to the young men, you know, he wrote to everybody. He was a young man at one time, you know, and then he became a father too. And, you know, he wrote about these things. In the book of John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14, he said, look, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. So, fathers, I'm speaking unto you because you are the godly seed. You are the righteous seed, and you must also raise godly seed. And there are blessings for the righteous father. Psalm 112, among others, so many powerful blessings for the father that's walking in his integrity. You know, there are many blessings for you. Some of them I will release and speak over the fathers today. So far, it's been a charge to the fathers for you to bless your children, to speak the words of grace over them, to speak life into them, to affirm their identity. You know who you are. You remember the rock from whence you were home. You tell them when they are going out in the world, say, look, you are from the family of such and such. You are a child of God primarily, but you are also my son. You know, you go out there and you represent. Praise God. Whether they are, you know, you're talking to them about the academic future, the athletic prowess, whatever. You tell them. You give them confidence. They know. They know who you are. And I guarantee you, I mean, even when they're playing sports, if they're trying to do something and they see you in the stands, oh my goodness, they're going to leave it out on the floor. My dad is in the stands. They're going to leave it out there, you know, because they know you are there, you know. And the children whose fathers will not go to their games, will not support them, don't have any time for them, those children hang their head in disappointment. They just hang their head, you know. Maybe the man said, I'm coming, but he didn't come. First time, second time. I see this stuff on TV all the time. First time, second time, third time. Finally, the son is, you know, just disappointed. You be there for your children. If you say you are going to their game, go to their game. If you say you are going to be there for them. Speak life, speak positive. When they see you in the stands, see that you are there. You know, there is an energy that it's going to bring to them that you don't even know about. When they know that you got their back, they're going to put everything out there. Put it all out. You know, that's what the power of the father does. But let me speak some blessings over fathers as well. I've given you a charge, but I want to also give you some blessings. Praise the Lord. You know, why am I talking as though it was for fathers? Well, it's a blessing for everybody, but it's for fathers. You'll see it in a minute. Psalm 112, bless ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, he said. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. You know, at first it seemed like he's just a man. Yeah, well, that delighted greatly in his commandments. But he's not just a man. He's a father. Because he's talking about his seed. So this is a point blank blessing for fathers who are walking in their integrity and doing this charge that I laid before you already today. Because he said his seed, so that makes this man a father. So, this man that feareth the Lord and is delighting greatly to do his commandment and happens to be a father, let me tell you what the Lord says to your children. You know, your seed shall be mighty upon the earth. If you believe that, you can put amen in the chat room. That's for fathers, mothers, everybody. If you are a believer that loves the Lord, fear the Lord, and you delight to do his commandments, this is what your children will be. They will be mighty. Whether they look mighty right now, it doesn't matter. The word of God will never fall to the ground. You know, Isaiah 55 will tell you that the word that I speak cannot come back to me. It'll be like rain that comes from heaven, can't go back there. It will accomplish its purpose, prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. The word says, your seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Now, it's talking about your generation. So that's a father. You know, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Well, if you're not a father, you don't have any generation behind you. You know, because you are fathers, your lineage is blessed. And for you fathers, wealth and riches shall be in your house. Your righteousness endureth forever. Glory to God. Even light, you know, we've been talking about light and darkness. Light will arise for you even when you think you are in darkness. Light will arise for you. Glory to God. Because you are fearing the Lord, you are delighting greatly to do his commandments. I mean, these are powerful promises. And you might want to refer to my previous teachings on generational blessings and blessings for our children, all these things that I taught in the last few months, you know, but I'm just going to, just a few of them, you know, for you fathers today. Not just for you, but for your children. Not just for your children, but for you. You know, it's both ways. When you are blessed, your children are blessed. That's right. You know, when you are blessed, your children are blessed. And God wants to bless both of you together. Not just you, not just your children. You and your children. That's what it says in the book of Psalm 115. And I love this verse because the Lord used it to instruct me too. You know, and there was a time that I was thinking, well, at my age, what other blessing do I need? What other increase do I need? Gosh, I'll just increase my children. I'll be good. And the Lord said, no, that's not what I said. You know, Psalm 115 and verse 14 says, the Lord shall increase you. Always starts with you. More and more. You and your children. Praise the Lord. So you fathers in the house today, or wherever you are listening, God will increase you and your children more and more. Jesus himself said the same thing. It was said of him, and he quoted it. In Isaiah 8 and verse 18, say, it starts with the father. I and the children that God has given me. Well, grammatically, that's not even correct. Grammatically, you will say, my children and I. And you don't say, I am my children. Grammatically, we don't say that. My children and I. But it was deliberately said this way because it starts with you. I and the children, because there can't be any children without the source. The father is the source. you and your children, God has given you for signs and wonders. Not the children alone and not you alone, a combination of you and your children. Powerful stuff. And if you have children like that, you know, listen to what he says for fathers. Fathers that are blessed to have children that have received instruction. Well, you know, it's the reward of your labor over these children. That's what you are reaping. And these children don't just know about the Lord by just knowing about the Lord. No, somebody taught them. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Psalm 128. That walketh in his ways. Which is similar to Psalm 112. You know, you will eat the labor of your hands. That's right. For your fathers, I mean for the fathers in the room today, you will definitely eat the labor of your hands. Happy shall thou be. Blessed shall thou be. It shall be well with thee. I'm speaking wellness, happiness, blessings over fathers in the house today. Your wife. And this is a promise for every godly man. You know, it shall not be said of you that your wife is dry or you yourself are dry. No, your wife shall be as a fruitful vine. That's right. By the size of your house. What about your children? And so he's talking about fathers. Your children will be like olive plants, round about your table. These, you know, shall be how it will be with you. Your children. You know, your children will be mighty upon the earth. And, you know, blessed is the man that has his quiver full of them. If you are a father, you are blessed, you know, and your children after you are also blessed. But you are going to make sure that blessing comes upon them. Don't leave it to chance. You'll be the one pronouncing it on them. And every day, pronounce it on them. They will receive it, you know, because you are pronouncing it on them. And the Lord will make it happen for your children. What you pronounce, we've seen it in these people. Psalm 127 also talks about blessings, you know, that come, you know, to the father when he sees stuff that happened in the life of his children. He said, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Psalm 127, verse 3. So you fathers, your children came from the Lord. Remember it. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. So if you're blessed with children, you've got power. You know, because these children are powerful. They're like weapons. That's what the Bible is saying here. Because, you know, say, so are children of the youth, they shall speak. Blessed is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall speak with the enemies at the gate. These children are powerful stuff. You know, can be your first line of defense. That's what speaking with enemies at the gate means. That's the first line of defense. You can train your children to become like that. You know, enough time passes, your children no longer see themselves as, oh, they are hiding in your shadow or walking in your shadow. No, they're out in the front. They're the first line of defense. They themselves are providing a covering now because you've taught them like that. You know, two or three times I've heard one of my daughters and even my grandson say something like, oh, we're praying like grandpa now. praying like my dad now. How does your dad pray? How does grandpa pray? You know, I said, well, he said these things in the middle of his prayer and stuff like that. You know, something's rubbing off on these people, you know. So, that's it. They are coming to be, and they are becoming, they're coming to their own, you know, and they can be, you know, the first line of defense. When my children pray now, I can stand behind that prayer. You know, they can speak to the enemies in the day. I don't need to be the one speaking for them all the time. I've done it all their life. Now, they're in the front. They can speak with the enemies in the gate now. Glory to God, you know. Because I spoke blessings over them, spoke faith into their life, taught them the word of the Lord, you know. Now we can reap the fruit. They themselves be the first line of defense. And they can cover their own children too after them. And on and on and on and on. Praise the Lord, you know. And there are many things that God promises for you, fathers. For you to, you know, I know we worry and so forth, you know, but God's going to take care of the children. You know, there are promises in this scripture that God will take care of your children. They will too. He will too. You don't have to worry about it. Proverbs 11:21 says, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. It's talking about fathers too. You know, fathers are the ones that bear seed. So you righteous fathers, you can know for a surety that your children shall be delivered. Praise the Lord. And fathers should also rest in the Lord and rejoice over their children, just like the Father of lights does over us. Guess what the Father of lights does over us? In the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, guess what the Lord does over us? And this is what fathers should also do over their children. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Praise God. Your children should know that my father who's backing me is a man of prayer, a man of power. You know, I said, well, the Lord thy God is mighty. He will say, he will rejoice over thee with joy. I mean, does God rejoice over us with joy? Absolutely. The father should also rejoice over his children with joy. Praise God. Rest in his love. Joy over you with singing. And father does that. You should do that too. Today, as they celebrate you, joy with them. Rejoice over them with joy and with singing. Yes, have a good time, you know. And remember, you know, that you are an epistle that is being read by your children. That's right. You know, it's not just the words that you speak. Words are so powerful. Words you speak is so important. You must. And I've been talking about it for an hour. But also how you are. The children want to be like you. You know, I've even seen that some children even want to be as their corrupt fathers, unfortunately. Because that's what they know. But you who are points of light, who are beacons of light, your children, they want to be like you. And then, you know, they want to make you proud too. Well, you tell them how proud you are. That's my son, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. You know, rejoice over them with joy. And always have their backs. Always. Praise God. The Lord is good. In closing, you know, I want to give a combination of benedictions to fathers. You know, everything that we see from these fathers that we've talked about, covenant blessing from Abraham, you know, prophetic blessings from Isaac to Jacob, identity and so forth for Jacob and all the things, you know, that Isaac said to him, generational blessings, even from Moses, all the things he said to the whole generation, Deuteronomy 28, you know, all these things that will come on you. Instruction that came from David, intercession from Job for his children, and what the Father of lights, our Heavenly Father, did for Jesus, affirming his identity. You know, powerful stuff. And proclaiming how proud he was of the Son. The Son himself looking to the Father always for everything. Well, I can't do anything unless what the Father shows me. And the Father say, yeah, that's my boy. He'll do what I say. You know, that's my son. The Lord said the same thing about Abraham. I know him. He'll do the right thing. And he teaches children the right thing. So I'm going to pray a blessing over the room for our fathers. I pray in the name of Jesus, the blessing of the covenant, covenant blessing that God put upon Abraham and said to you and to your seed. I declare for the fathers that are in this house today, the blessing of God is upon you and to your seed after you. Glory to God. The word of the Lord that came out of the mouth of Isaac to Jacob and said, God bless you with the dew of heaven and all that. I say it to you and to your seed after you in Jesus' name. Praise God. The power that God gave upon to Jacob, that even scripture says, Jacob leaning upon his staff, spoke of things to come concerning his sons. The power of the prophetic, I place and release upon you today to speak it into the lives of your children. And it shall be so. Glory to God. The generational blessings that Moses instructed the children of God. He said, you speak of these things when you are in the house, on the table, at dinner, or on the way, writing on your doorpost, everything. I release that grace upon you today. You will never forget it. Always speak it over your children. Instruction of the Father that David gave to Solomon. Solomon, my son, the Lord give you a wise heart. He prayed for him. And the Lord, you know, made Solomon remember that. And he asked for the same thing. My father prayed for me to have a wise heart. Lord, give me a wise heart. And the Lord did it. The provision that God made, put in David's mind to lay up for his son. The Lord give you the grace to do it for your children. The Bible says it's not the children that lays up for the father. It's the father that lays up for the children. Glory to God. And Solomon himself, the words of instruction that he passed on. My son, hear the instruction of the father. The grace for fathers to speak instruction to the lives of their children, I release it upon you in Jesus' name. Being a father myself. And Job, how he interceded all the time for his children, not knowing whether they've done something wrong or not. I release that grace upon our fathers in the house today, the mantle of prayer, that you'll be a covering for your children all the time. It's like, cover me, the Kingsman Redeemer, cover me with the borders of your skin. You're covering them with your prayer. I release that grace upon you in Jesus' name. And last but not the least, the father's pride, the father's approval. That's right. The father's recognition that the heavenly father gave to the Christ. He said, this is my beloved son. He said it openly. Everybody can hear it. Even before the Christ did anything, he said it. The power, the grace to give approval to your children. Hallelujah. And to have their backs no matter what. Release upon all the fathers in the house. And then you and your children together, you are blessed. The blessing of God Almighty be upon you and your children. The Lord of God of heaven give you the dew of heaven in season and out of season. And the Lord always remind you that the seed of the righteous shall be blessed. And they will be mighty. Your children will be mighty upon the earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I release these blessings upon every father that's in the room today and will hear this later on. And now I turn to the Father of lights. And I say, Lord God of heaven, Jesus taught him that he taught us that he was our father. Ah, I thank you for being our father. And now, Lord, we can call you father. Thank you, Jesus, for making us realize that. Thank you, Lord. They never knew, the people never knew that God could be their father. And Jesus was always constantly telling them. Now, therefore, Lord, we thank you, for you are our father. God is our father, and we are his children. And we say, blessed be the name of the Lord on this Father's Day. For us and our Heavenly Father, Father's Day is every day. But Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Heavenly Father. He wants you to have that Father's relationship with him every day. So Lord, we thank you today. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. To God be the glory. Happy Father's Day. Let's make the Lord happy today. Let him rejoice over us when he sees our obedience. That's what he saw in Christ. He saw the obedience. He saw the heart to do the Father's will. And even before he went out and did all of it, he was already committed to doing it. And the Father was proud. May we make our Heavenly Father proud, that we will hear that commendation out of his mouth. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. To God be the glory. The Lord bless every father that's in the house. And happy Father's Day to you all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.